Hello, and good evening. How is everybody doing? Hope that you are all well, that you've had a great day. I've had a very exciting day, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute, but that you've had a great day and that you are excited about tonight, phase three. It's going to be amazing. I've got so much goodness in store for you tonight. And we're going to be diving in just a few minutes. But I thought I'd just come on, check the tech as always. By now you guys know that I have this thing with the tech, that until I know the tech's good, I won't fully relax. So I'll just wait for my little handy text from the team to let me know that that all is good. And then we will kick off. But yeah, I've had a very exciting day today because I have been with a prince. I know, right? I was invited to go and meet with Prince Edward, His Royal Highness Prince Edward, to talk about the work we do in schools with My Happy Mind, which I'm going to be honest was a pretty cool experience. So I was invited to go just because of the impact that we're having, and in particular the impact we had over the pandemic. So he was on a bit of a tour of the northwest of England. We're meeting with different people who've played a role in mental health with kids. So it was really, really cool. And I was pretty nervous, I'm going to be honest. I was worried that, well, here's what I was worried about. I was worried that when I curtsied, because of course you've got to curtsy when you meet a prince or anyone in the royal family, I was worried I was going to fall over. And I was practicing with my daughter, who thought the whole thing was hilarious, and I had it nailed, right? I was practicing with no shoes on. And then this morning I went to get ready and I had heels on because I was gonna meet a prince, but I haven't worn heels in like 2 years. So when I was trying to curtsy, the curtsy was not happening. The curtsy wasn't happening. So it was all very stressful, but I managed to curtsy and not make a total plonker of myself. And I was also able to have a really good chat with him. So it was a cool day. It was a cool day. And not one that happens every day. First time I've ever met a royal. So it was pretty cool. So that's been what I've been up to before, of course, getting ready for you guys. So I'm just going to check that everything is okay with the team. And then we are gonna dive in. So just whilst I do that and I wait for the thumbs up, and I wait for the yes, we're all good from the team, I just wanted to hear from you guys about your reflections so far. And we're gonna have a chance to write down your aha moments in a minute, but I wanna hear from you guys in terms of your reflections on this experience so far. What is one word you would use to describe this experience so far? If you had to just encapsulate your journey so far in one word, what would it be? I want to hear about it in the chat. Let me know. And then we are going to get started because it is 8 o'clock. And you guys know by now that I like punctuality. It excites me very much. I like to know that we're starting on time, particularly when you guys have shown up on time. So we will get started. Amazing. Enlightening. Validating. Love that word. Enlightened. What else you got for me? What else you got for me? Another one for enlightening. That one's popular. Amazing, amazing. Keep them coming. So welcome back. Here we are, phase three. Let me know in the chat whether you have been live or caught the replay on the previous two sessions. So maybe just give me a yes if you've caught up and you've seen the other two sessions, or a no if this is the first time live, because I just want to get a sense of who we have in the room. Have you watched the other two sessions, or is this your first time with us? Let me know. Let me know. And then we're going to get into it. We're going to start moving through today's session, because it's been a journey, right? We've been on quite the journey together since this whole experience began. And I know for many of you, you clicked on an email link that your school sent out, if your school have My Happy Mind, or you saw something on Facebook or Instagram and you thought, oh, that looks interesting, I'll sign up for that. But for many of you, you'd never met me before. You'd never even necessarily heard of My Happy Mind before this experience. So it's been a real journey, and it's genuinely a pleasure for me to take you on this journey and to take you through all of the training that we've done. And we've got more goodness in store for you as well. So some of you it's first, some of you have caught up, Amazing. Live every session, Saima. I recognize your name. I've seen you. So amazing, amazing, amazing. So obviously in phase one, let's just go right back to the beginning. Our focus was really on giving you guys the time and the space just to reflect and just to think about your parenting journey, right? Think about where you are right now. Think about those things that are going well and think about those things that perhaps are going less well. And also to reflect on your kids, right? To just really take a step back and think about where they are, what they need, and where you want to be moving forward with them. And I know many of you found that really, really powerful. And I was determined to create that space for you because I know that if we don't do that step, if we don't take that time to really sit back and think and reflect, you would not have digested the information I've shared since in the same way. And the reason for that is that when our thoughts are clouding our judgment, when our thoughts are stuck and they're negative and they're worrying and they're overwhelmed, it's very hard for us to take on anything new. And so that first phase was really all about getting those thoughts out, putting those outdated beliefs around what you should be doing in the beliefs bin. So for those of you who haven't yet done phase one, please, please, please do so after this session. Please go back and start the journey again. Doesn't matter if you watch this session tonight as well, that's fine. But don't miss that step. It's a bit like trying to build a house without putting the foundations down. You know, we've got to give ourselves the space when we're starting something new to kind of let go of the past and, you know, say goodbye to those things that haven't served us historically. Otherwise, we can't effectively move forward. And then, of course, at the end of phase one, we started to have all those aha moments around the fact that perhaps some of what you'd been trying in the past, not all of it, but some of what you'd been trying wasn't serving you. And actually that unless we're using science-backed techniques, we won't be able to have the lasting and the sustainable impact that we want on our children's ultimately happiness. And we all took a stab at looking at where we were on the parenting ladder, which was really varied, but again, a useful experience in terms of being able to step back and say, here's where I am now, but actually here's where I need to be, which is becoming that happiness hero. And then in phase two, I showed you why, right? I showed you why understanding the science is such a game changer. And we explored the brain, we explored just a tiny bit of what we teach in our programs around the brain and around what happens in the brain when we're feeling stressed versus when we're feeling calm. And we also looked at the power of our thoughts. So really starting to kind of get into that science, because I wanted you guys to have something very real to take away from this free experience, something that would allow you to do things differently, would allow you to try a new approach. And so it was wonderful, genuinely so wonderful to see all of your aha moments coming through around that science. You know, aha moments around going, oh my goodness, that's why it's not been working. I've been trying to calm them down when their amygdala's in control. I've been trying to use logic. I've been trying to use memory and it just doesn't work. So it's just been fabulous to see all of that come to play for you. But my promise to you at the very beginning of this experience is that, or was that, by the end of it, so by the end of tonight, you would have total clarity on all of the areas, not just understanding a bit about the brain, but on all of the science-backed areas that you need to understand and start consistently implementing in order to make that lasting and that sustainable impact with your kids. And so that's what we're going to be doing tonight. So by the end of tonight's session, you will have that total clarity. You will have in your hands a blueprint that tells you exactly what you need to be focusing on in terms of building your child's resilience and self-esteem. And as many of you have started to realize, what you'll need too for your own confidence and self-esteem. So if you haven't already done this, flick into your workbook or grab a piece of paper if you've not got the workbook handy and just start capturing what some of those aha moments were for you from last Tuesday session or Tuesday just gone session a couple of days ago in that phase two where I started to teach you about the brain, because I know that for some of you, you'll have digested that. You might have even played around with it with your kids. And I would love to hear your experience of what's happened since then, like what's landed for you, what's feeling different now based on that session. So let me know in the chat what it's looked like for you. Oh, Ginny's saying, fine here in the USA. Good. I take it that means that there was an issue with sound for somebody, but that everyone else is okay. So yeah, try refreshing your screen. Try closing down any other windows. That can be a culprit as well, but hopefully you'll get that sorted. So what's been a big lesson for you? What's been a big learning for you since our last session? Let me know in the chat. Lorraine says, I love that your training gives a lot and only asks that we're focused on what you're trying to teach and you're very interested in what we have to say. Oh, thank you. You're very welcome. Evie says, if I want things to change first, I need to change me and the way I think. Yes. Looking at the trigger points has already made a massive difference. Amazing. Kay says, had parents' evening tonight and the teacher started going down the whole he just needs to mature route. Glad I've been here to start the process of better understanding it. Amazing. Shared the science info with my daughter and she understands and she's going to try and look out for her triggers. Amazing. Had positive conversation with hubby who is also getting on board. Result. That is a result, Rebecca. I love that. Understanding of how the amygdala works. Breathe before reacting to work out what they need. Yes. Love that. Having the confidence to wait for that amygdala to calm down before trying to move along. Sometimes it takes patience. Ruth, it's amazing to see you with us. Why we need to take deep breaths and why the amygdala and hippocampus shut down. Need to break the think, feel, behavior cycle of negativity. Amazing. You guys all are like, deserve a gold star. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So we've got more goodness in store for tonight. But just a final reminder, because you have until Sunday at 9 p.m. to enter our giveaway, which includes an iPad, access to the My Happy Mind Families program for free, all sorts of good swag, including my book, which I will sign for you if you're a winner, and all sorts of other goodies that you just can't buy anywhere. So they're like really exclusive items. Some of which I gave to the prince today, I should say. So don't forget to enter. If you guys are having these aha moments, you're having these breakthroughs, write them down in your workbook, take a photo and either email them, hello@myhappymind.org, Facebook group with them, lots of people have done that already, or post it on Instagram and tag me. I do like seeing things pop up on my Instagram. So if you're happy to do that, I'd love to see them there too. We'll be announcing the winner on Monday at 12 p.m. on a special Facebook Live I'll be doing in our Happiness Hacks live group. So you've got to be in it to win it. I'm just saying, I wish I could enter. There's a free iPad up for grabs. Someone's got to win it. We will be sending somebody a free iPad. We will be giving somebody free access to my program. So get those entries in. So in our last session, you saw how much the science matters when it comes to building our children's resilience and self-esteem. And even just with that one piece of knowledge that I gave you, which is really just one small piece about the brain and the amygdala, we saw this massive transformation in terms of how you think about things and how you can manage behavior differently. And what the next bit is about is really helping you to see what all of the other components are and what else you can be doing to have impact. And you know, some of you might be wondering, but how am I supposed to figure out which bits matter most? Because if that's just one small bit, and it is just one small bit of what we teach, how do I figure out what the rest is? How am I supposed to know where else I should be focusing and what's going to have an impact versus what's just going to take a lot of time and not really do anything? And that's exactly what we're going to be covering today. So I do just want to say that if you've got your workbooks with you, amazing. If you don't, please, please, please go and quickly now find a scrap of paper and a pen, because you're going to want to write a lot of notes for what's about to come. I'm going to be giving you a lot of information. If you've got your workbook, there's spaces for you to capture that, which is great. But if you don't, definitely go and grab some paper now, because I don't want you to miss the opportunity to note some of this stuff down. Because here's the thing, I can tell you from experience of having been on this journey myself when I was trying to figure out all of this stuff, that it is a minefield and there is lots out there. Lots that's really good and really powerful and lots that works. And lots that doesn't. Lots of outdated stuff that isn't grounded in science. Lots of hearsay. Lots of stuff that could cause you to go down the wrong path. But the great news is I've done the work for you. So the areas that I'm going to be sharing, the five key areas that I'm going to be sharing, are the ones that are going to have the most impact on your child's happiness. These are the areas that science proves absolutely categorically help humans to be happy. And I know that we all want happy humans, not just our kids, right? But for ourselves too. So these are 100% the areas to focus on. And everything that I'm going to share with you is grounded in science and research. I have spent years building this system. I have spent a long time researching it and worked with some of the world's leaders in doing so. So all of this is grounded in science and in the good stuff. And that's why, as I've said to you before, we're backed by the NHS, because our data shows that we're able to prevent children getting to the stage, for example, that they need to be referred to mental health services in the UK. We reduce that number by over 40% in schools after just 1 year with the programme. So we know that what we teach works. We know that these areas work from the research, but also from the hundreds of thousands of children who've benefited from these areas, both in our schools programme, but also the thousands of families that I've coached through our families programmes as well. So this is the stuff, okay? And it doesn't need to be overwhelming. In fact, I think you'll agree when I present it to you that it's really simple in terms of how I explain it, hopefully, and how the information is presented. So I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to be thinking, oh my gosh, it's science, it's research, it's going to be hard and difficult. It's not. I'm going to make it really, really simple for you. So let's dive in. Let's get going. So what I want you guys to do is go to, if you have your workbook, go to page 15 on your workbook, because what we're going to be diving into is the My Happy Mind system. And if you don't have your workbook, then just try your best. The artists amongst you will be fine with this. If it was me, it would be terrible because I can't draw for toffee, but just try and create something that's a circle like this that has got those kind of five key different areas, so you can kind of recreate this for yourselves. In fact, I'd love to see your pictures if you do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to work through each of these five areas in turn, and I'm going to tell you why they're so important, and I'm going to tell you what is so important about this particular area of science and how it then positively impacts your children. So I'm just going to double check in the chat that everyone's good and everybody is happy. Oh my goodness, I've just seen some amazing stories being shared. And I haven't seen them, but that's probably a good thing, because I've had some of our family's members this week send me the most beautiful emails. And one of them, Ruth, I know you're here and you did have me sobbing. So thank you for sharing your successes and your transformations. I'm not going to look at the chat because it'll send me off, but I do really appreciate it when you guys do that. So let's start with Meet Your Brain. And look, the truth is, without an understanding of the brain, without a deep understanding of how we're wired as humans, there's a very real chance that as parents, we are dealing with behavior, emotions in totally the wrong way, but we didn't even realize it. And we saw that, right? We saw some of that in phase two. We saw that for some of us, and I used to do this too, we were reacting in the wrong way when our child was having an amygdala moment. We were using logic or memory, and we know now that that doesn't work, right? So understanding the brain for you as a parent, but then, and even more importantly, helping your child to understand their own brain is one of the most powerful things that you can do for your child's mental health. Why? Because if your child can't understand why they're behaving, why they're feeling, why they're acting in the way that they are, and take themselves out of that, self-manage themselves out of that, then they will struggle as they go through life to manage those emotions. The second reason this is so important is that if a child can't understand their own emotions, if a parent can't understand their own emotions, it's really difficult for them to understand the emotions of others. And so what you're going to see with all of what I share with you guys tonight is that the first step is understanding self. And this is for you and for your kids. And then the second self, second step, sorry, is understanding others and applying what you know to others. And look, I don't know about you, but I've always found it really, really strange that from an education perspective and from a societal perspective, we spend so much time developing children and parents' awareness of how to maintain a healthy body, and so little time on building an awareness around how to maintain a healthy mind. In fact, it strikes me that whilst the work around prevention is pretty good on a healthy body, you know, we know to drink water, we know to exercise, we know to eat five a day. Actually, when it comes to looking after our brain and our mental health, the conversation tends to be much more of a problem-based one, right? You've heard me talk about this before, a deficit-based approach, which instead of saying things like, here's the things to do to look after your mind, it's here's what to do when you're broken, right? Rather than here's how to stop yourself getting unhealthy from a mental health perspective, it's here's what to do when it's already happened, right? Depression, anxiety, etc. And so one of the things that's really, really important to help your kids with is having this understanding of how their brain actually works and how they can look after their own mind. So what are some of the things that they can do to keep a healthy mind? And the reason that making that connection for your children is so important is that if they don't understand how their brain works, and if they don't understand strategies to calm themselves down when their brain is struggling, when that amygdala takes over, then it's very, very difficult for them to ever adopt a technique to calm themselves down. They have to know what's happening up here in order to take steps to calm themselves down. You guys needed to know that too, right? And you saw some of that yesterday. But the other thing that's really, really important from a resilience perspective in particular and a self-esteem perspective is to make sure that your children understand the process of learning. That your children understand that they have the ability, because of their amazing brain, to learn and to grow. And I want to talk to you guys now about mindset. And some of you might have heard some of this before. Let me know in the chat if you have. But there's a very famous psychologist called Carol Dweck, and she has done a whole load of work looking at different mindsets, looking at how we're wired and how we think, in essence. I'm just going to take a sip of water. And what her work shows is that we tend to fall into one of two categories. And actually, I'd love to do a quick poll here and to hear, when I explain these two mindsets, which your child falls into. So we either have what's called a growth mindset, which is where somebody believes that their intelligence, that their knowledge, that their competence is not fixed, right? It can develop, it can grow, they can improve. And then we have what's called a fixed mindset, which is where a child thinks that their intelligence, their competence, their ability is stuck. It's fixed. So let me know, let's do a poll. Does your child or children tend to have more of a growth mindset or a fixed mindset? Do they believe that their intelligence, their ability, their competence can change and grow if they work hard, or do they believe that it's fixed? Let me know in the poll and we can check out where we're at with that. But one of the things that's really interesting, and this is a lot of the work I do in schools as well, is this idea of how we support children who have a fixed mindset. Obviously, we want children to have a growth mindset, right? We want them to feel like if they put the work in, they can grow and they can develop. That's obviously what we want all of our children to think. And if they do, that's fantastic. But many children do have a fixed mindset on one or more things. And you can have a bit of both. You can have a growth mindset, for example, on sport, but a fixed mindset with maths. So you can believe that if you practice your football, you're going to improve, but you can also think, I'm rubbish at maths. I'm always going to be rubbish at maths. So you can have a bit of both. It can depend on the situation. The trouble with a fixed mindset is that by definition, that child doesn't believe that they can improve. They don't believe that they can grow in that particular area. And so when we use language with them like practice makes perfect, or just keep trying, or come on, you can do this, they kind of don't really digest it. They don't really believe it. So what's important to do, and again, this is where the science of the brain is really important, is actually teach them the process that happens in their brain when they learn and grow. It's a concept called neuroplasticity. It's something we do in all of our programs, and it's really important for your children to understand. If they have a fixed mindset, or if they face a challenge and they don't think they can get through it, it's super important to teach them how our brains actually work in terms of learning and growth. Now, for each of these key areas, I'm going to share with you one of my favourite quotes on that area, not least because sometimes these are just really good ways of remembering the content. And so for the brain and all that we've talked about in terms of why teaching your kids about their brain is so important, it's this one. Our mind is like a parachute. It doesn't work if it isn't open. What do I mean by this? Well, I want you to kind of imagine that you are sat on a plane about to do a skydive, okay? And I want you to imagine that the jump is a challenging experience. I mean, it probably would be for most people, right? But the jumping out of the plane, metaphorically, represents a difficult experience, okay? And your parachute is a metaphor for your brain and for your mind. If you jump out of that plane or you hit a difficult experience and your parachute doesn't open, your brain isn't able to manage that difficult experience because you don't have resilience, then you're going to hit the ground pretty damn quick. It's not going to end well because your parachute's not going to open. Versus somebody who has learned about their brain, who understands how their mind works, who understands how to manage their mind. Even when they face that jump, when they face that tough situation, when they jump, their parachute will open. So yes, it might still be a difficult journey, but they will be able to cruise through it so much more gently because they understand how their mind works. They understand how their brain works. And so they're better able to navigate that situation. So hopefully that brings that piece to life. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Are you with me? Okay, cool. So the next thing that is so important, and I know so transformational for so many of the families that I coach, is this idea of celebrating individuals. Now, I don't know about you, but I have often wondered before I learned this science, like, what actually builds self-esteem? What actually makes people feel good about who they are? I'm sure you have too, right? Well, what if I told you that the approach that's used in most schools, most workplaces, and most homes is potentially not the right approach to building self-esteem? That's what I'm going to tell you. Self-esteem is simply the extent to which we like ourselves, the extent to which we feel good or otherwise about who we are. That's all self-esteem is. And you would be forgiven, and why wouldn't you think this, given the way our society's set up, that the way that we build somebody's self-esteem, the way that we build somebody's self-confidence, is to praise them for their competence, for their achievements, for the things that they do. Look at our education system. The majority of reward and praise is geared around achievement, right? Spelling tests, learning times table, getting picked for a football team. And then as we go up through the levels in schools, exams, right? Formal exams, and then maybe university. And then we enter the workplace and we get set goals and objectives, right? They're all competence-based things. So it's no wonder then that as parents, we think that the right way to build a child's self-esteem, to help a child to feel good, is through praising their achievements, praising their competence. But what if I told you that actually that doesn't build self-esteem? You know, there's been decades of study around this very question. What is it that builds self-esteem? And the truth is, it's not competence. It's character. So the thing that makes us feel good about who we are, the thing that makes us like ourselves and feel that self-confidence, is first understanding what our character is, and secondly, being praised and celebrated for it. Now, I'm going to give you a really extreme example to illustrate this point. And the truth is, the right balance is probably somewhere in the middle, right? But I'm going to give you extreme examples to illustrate why this is so important. I want you to imagine a child who has grown up in a home and attended a school where they've only ever been praised or celebrated for their competence, for the things they're able to do, for learning to use the potty, for learning to put their shoes on, for learning to put their coat on, for learning to write their name, for learning to learn their spellings, for learning their times tables, for getting picked for a team, right? That's all they've ever received praise for. Competence-based things. That child, unsurprisingly, grows up believing and feeling that they're only worthy of praise, which, by the way, children equate to love and validation when they achieve. That child is only ever praised for achieving something, therefore they believe that if they don't achieve, they won't get praise, they won't get love. That's why you have some children who get 99% on a test and they're devastated they didn't get 100. They believe that if they don't achieve at the highest levels, they won't get that praise. Again, I'm exaggerating to make a point. On the other side, let's imagine a child who's grown up in a home where they've only ever been praised and celebrated for who they are, for their character, for their humour, for their kindness, for their curiosity. And in school, that's all they've been praised for too. They believe that they're worthy of praise and love just because of who they are. Not because of anything they've achieved, but just because of who they are. When that child gets 9 out of 10 in a test, it's water off a duck's back because it doesn't define them. But so often, as parents and as teachers, we focus overly on praising competence. And we forget to do the character piece. And if there's one thing that you can take away from this entire experience as it relates to the self-esteem component, it's think about character. How much does your child understand their character and how much do you celebrate it? How much do you understand your own character and how much do you celebrate it? Now, many of you will be thinking, how do I know what my character is? How do I know what my child's character is? Well, this is my favourite quote for this. Our character is who we are when we think no one is watching. It's who we are when we're at our most relaxed. Are we curious? Are we funny? Are we determined? What are the things that stand out for you? Now, this is one of those things that can take a bit of time to reflect on. So I really, really encourage you to do so. I'm just going to check in on the chat. Donna says it's hard when things like SATs celebrate competence rather than character. 100%. 100%. Okay, next up is appreciate. And as you can probably guess, this is all focused around gratitude. So let me know in the chat who is a fan of a gratitude journal or a gratitude quote. I mean, I love a quote, as you can tell from tonight, but tell me in the chat, have you noticed, just tell me with a yes or a no, have you noticed this big increase in gratitude quotes, gratitude journals, gratitude stuff? If so, let me know in the chat, because it's become really mainstream over the last decade or so. And the reason it's become really mainstream is because there's been so much research done into what it takes to create happy humans, right? And one of the things that we know is that gratitude is one of the fastest and most effective ways to well-being. It has profound impacts on our happiness. And the reason for that is that when we give gratitude and we receive gratitude, we get this dopamine released in our brain, which is a feel-good hormone. It makes us feel amazing. Let's do a quick poll on this and let me know what you think. Do you think that we get more benefit from receiving gratitude or from giving gratitude? Do you think you get more benefit from receiving or giving gratitude? let me know in the poll what you guys think. It's a bit of a pop quiz, this one. So you get more from giving or from receiving gratitude? Let me know in the poll. Because what's really interesting, particularly for those of us who are in England, is that gratitude is something that we don't necessarily make habit. It's something that we don't necessarily do enough of, which is a real shame. And in fact, one of the biggest mistakes that I see my parents that I end up coaching inside our programs make is nagging their children to be grateful. Have you ever done this? Have you ever been like, oh, you just don't know how lucky you've got it? I mean, when I was your age, I didn't have an iPad, or when I was your age, I didn't have devices, or when I was your age, I couldn't just watch something when I wanted to. I had to wait till the week that it was on, right? Have you ever found yourself showing your frustration towards your kids that they're not being grateful, thinking that that is a path to them becoming grateful? It's one of the biggest mistakes I see parents make, and it just doesn't work. Gratitude has to be felt from within. It can't be something that we nag our kids to do. So we have to teach our children how to feel gratitude, how to be grateful. Oh, the poll is in. Okay, so we have over 90% of you thinking that it is giving gratitude that would have the biggest happiness effect over receiving it. The truth is, it's about the same. So the effect when you give someone gratitude in terms of those happiness hormones is pretty similar to the effect when you receive the gratitude. Interesting, right? We would tend to think, and I would have agreed with you before I knew the science, that giving gratitude gave us the bigger effect, but actually it's in the receiving too. And so it's just a no-brainer. If you can build grateful children, then what you're giving them is not only those frequent well-being effect moments, but also it helps them to become more resilient. When we have an outlook of gratitude, when we're able to see gratitude in everything that we do, we are much better able to cope with the tough times. We're much better able to cruise through the hard times if we're able to see the things we have to be grateful for. It is such an important skill. It's not a fad. It's not something that should just be on the front of journals or something that's a nice Instagram quote. It's a very real tool that, if you get right, can have profound impacts on your own happiness and the happiness of your children. Now, I love this quote, but the first time I saw it, I had to read it a couple of times to really understand it. It's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. We don't get happy and then feel grateful. We feel grateful and then we get happy. And so often, I think, in our society, there is this obsession with the next thing. You know, I'll be happy when I get that promotion or that new job or that house or that new toy or that game. And this constant yearning for more or better can really prevent us from sitting in the moment and just being grateful for what we have right now. And it is super important that we land this with our children, particularly given the level of materialism that exists in our society, the level of kind of social pressure to have and to be a certain way. So really establishing a gratitude habit is a game changer for you. Next up is the importance of building positive relationships. Now again, this is a game changer, and I can be bold and say that the degree to which you or your children are happy can be directly correlated to the quality of their relationships and of yours. Let me say that again. The degree to which your children feel happiness can be directly correlated to the quality of their relationships with family, with friends, and with the people that are in their lives. It is so important to give our children the skills and the ability to build positive relationships. The challenge we face in the age in which we live is that the way in which children connect with each other is changing. Technology is obviously a wonderful thing, right? It's bringing us together this evening and has done for the last week, but it has its downsides, particularly for kids. So we need to be really, really focused on how our children connect. What opportunities do they have for real face-to-face connection as opposed to just connection over technology? And we also have to be really conscious about how we engage with our kids. Because the way in which we engage with our kids is modeling the way in which they should engage with the people in their lives. So if we're guilty, and look, I've been there too, of multitasking all the time, being on our phones rather than sitting and watching a movie with the kids, not really being present, then we're teaching them that that's how you do relationships. And so teaching your children the value and the importance of real connection is absolutely critical. Linked to that, two of the most important things that you can do are, one, teach them to be good listeners, and two, teach them to see things from other perspectives. And if you can give your kids those skills, if you can teach them the importance of good relationships and then model good relationships and give them those foundational skills, then they will have positive relationships and that will lead them to feel happier. And when we have good relationships, we have good self-esteem. And when we have good relationships, we can be more resilient in the face of challenge. You know, self-esteem and resilience aren't really standalone things, as you're probably starting to see. They're a product of having all of these different science-backed ingredients in place and embedded in your house, in your child's life. There's not just one thing to do to build self-esteem. It's a multitude of things that come together to have this incredible effect. So in a world full of algorithms and followers, never forget the importance of human connection. Because, you know, however your kids do in school, whatever grades they get, if they can get along with others and have good, positive relationships, they're going to be okay. They're going to be happy. So rather than focusing, as society tends to do, on achievement, on competence, if we can start to focus on some of these things, we will create generations of happier kids. There's no doubt about it. And finally, engage. Now, I talk about this a lot in my book. I talk about this idea that we all have in our life, kids and adults, kind of two different types of goals. We have what I like to call our to-do list goals, which are just the things that we have to get done, right? The things that are on our list every day. For you, it might be the laundry, things that you have to do for work if you work, child admin that one of my members calls chadmin, which I absolutely love. It could be all sorts of things, right, that you just have to do to get through life. But then we also have this category of things that I like to call our big dream goals. And they're the things that we want to achieve just because we're passionate about them. So for you, it might be running a marathon for the first time. For a child, it might be learning how to make those loom band bracelets, right? Or friendship bracelets, or learning how to do 20 keepy uppies, which for those of you that aren't in England is when you kick the football and you keep it in the air for 20 kicks. The point about these big dream goals is that they're not things that we have to do. They're things that we want to do. Now, let me know in the chat if any of you that are here love a list. Are you what I like to call a to-do list ninja? If so, let me know in the chat just with a yes or a no. If you love a list, give me a yes. If you're not bothered about a list, give me a no. But many of us do love a list, myself included. And one of the reasons that we love a list and we love achieving things on a list is that our brains really like us to achieve things. It feels really, really good when we tick something off that list. Lots of list lovers coming through. I have lists for my lists. You're my kind of girl. Do you ever, let me ask you this, and just put a guilty if you do, put something on your list that you've actually already done just so you can tick it off? Give me a guilty in the chat if you do. Now, the reason we do that, for those of you that are with me in the circle of guilt on that, the reason that we do that is that it feels great because we get dopamine released in the brain when we tick something off our list. Feels absolutely great. Write it on, even if already done, so I can tick it off. Yes. Guilty, says Sean. I love it. Sean, sorry. Oh, I love it. Not just me then. So we like to achieve things. We like to accomplish things. That's a given. And when we do that with our to-do list, it feels great. When we achieve something that's a big dream goal, though, the well-being effect is even greater. When we achieve our big dream goals, the well-being effect can last for years. So getting your children focused on not just the things they have to do to get through life, getting yourselves focused on not just the things you have to do to get through life, but also on those big dream goals is really, really important. And it's important for two major reasons. The first being that great well-being effect, right? Why wouldn't we encourage our kids to do the things that we know are going to give them this huge well-being effect? That's absolutely critical. But the second reason is all to do with resilience. Now, I don't know about you, but most of the time when I hear people talking about resilience, it's in the context of struggle, right? Of challenge. It's somebody saying something like, they just need to be more resilient and practice a bit more with their maths or their sport or whatever it might be. It tends to be a word that comes up in the context of a struggle. Now, here at My Happy Mind, as you're probably starting to see, we like to do things a bit differently and we like to leverage the positive rather than focusing on the negative. And there's a reason for that. It works. And it's no different with resilience. I fundamentally believe, and the science backs me up, that children are born resilient. We're all born with resilience. And here's what happens. Children get told as they get older that they need to be more resilient. They start to have this view, this self-image, this belief, right? Back to those beliefs that they need to be resilient. They're not resilient enough. But that's not true. Get a child focusing on their big dream goals. They will show you their resilience. Get a child focusing on the things that they're passionate about. They will not need to be nagged to keep on trying. But most of the time, what children, and for us too, are encouraged to focus on are those to-do list goals, not their big dream goals. If you get them working on some big dream goals, you're going to have an opportunity to give them their own evidence that they already know how to be resilient. They already have that skill. Then when they're struggling with their maths or their English or their sport, you don't need to tell them they need to be more resilient. You can just remind them that they already are and that this is just a moment where they need to remember they've got that skill and they need to start employing that skill. So it's a totally different conversation. Building your child's resilience doesn't come from nagging them to practice. It doesn't come from pestering them to be more resilient, telling them to try harder. It comes from showing them that they already are. So, it always seems impossible until it's done. You know, when I quit my job to start My Happy Mind, I said to my husband, one day I'm going to have the NHS paying for this program. He didn't think I would do it. I'm not sure I thought I would do it, but I was determined. I had this big dream and it seemed impossible at the beginning. I'm not going to lie to you. Now I've achieved it. It didn't seem so impossible. So whether you're thinking about your own big dream goals or your children's big dream goals, let them be big. Let them dream beyond their wildest dreams and you do the same for you. Because everything seems impossible until you achieve it. So, they're the five most critical areas of science that children need to not only understand, but have embedded in their lives. Now, what I would love for you to do now is to take a couple of minutes to reflect. And against each of the five areas, I would love for you to write next to it either red, amber, or green. You're going to write red if you think this is an area we really need to focus on. You're going to write amber if you're like, yeah, we could do some work here. And you're going to write green if you think you are implementing this daily with your child, that it's fully ingrained into who they are and you're smashing it. Okay, so I want you to do your own, what we call RAG status, red, amber, green, against each of the five key areas. And I want you to do this because it's going to really help you to think about where do you need to most focus. So red, if it's an area that you're really struggling with and you go, oh my goodness, we really need to do some work here. Amber, if you think that it's kind of a bit so-so. And green, if you think you're smashing it out of the park. You've done all the work and your child doesn't need any support in this area. And when you've done that, I would love to hear you share. So I'll leave that slide on actually in case anyone needs it. But I would love to hear you share what's your reds, what's your ambers, what's your greens. So just maybe put in a message R and then your area, A, your area, and G and your area. I'd love to hear from you guys. Like, where are you at with this stuff? Which bits are you like, oh my goodness, that's where I need to focus versus where it's feeling good. So I will take the opportunity to have a little sip of water as those come through. And by the way, if they're all red, that's okay. If they're all red, it means that this learning experience for you has been really positive because it's time to move forward, right? It's time to do the work. Lots of people will be all red and I can see that that's coming through. That's coming through. All red, that's okay. Listen, mine were all red for years. All red for years. There's nothing wrong with them all being red. And even now, like I am the My Happy Mind system. I created the thing. And even now there's a couple that are probably amber for me that I'm working on with my kids that we haven't quite nailed right now. Because obviously as kids change and as kids grow, new things crop up. And you have to go into that, you know? You have to go into that and that's okay. All red, but that's okay. Lots of red and amber. Okay, so it's good for you guys to get a sense of where you're at because it helps you to get motivated, right, to do something with that. And alongside that, I can tell you, having coached now thousands of parents, that there are three key things that are absolutely going to be critical for you on your journey from this point forward. There's three things that are going to make up your success formula. There's three things that are going to make or break this journey for you from this point. The first is embedding that science that we've talked about. So teaching your children the how, right, on all of those five key areas that I've given you that blueprint for. That's really, really important. But it's also about taking consistent action. Remember our parenting ladder? We had those book smart believers who knew all the science, but they hadn't embedded it because they haven't been taking consistent action. And then you also really, really need to surround yourself with others, to be in a good community. You guys have seen, even just in this short week that we've had together, what can be created in terms of community. I mean, the support in the Facebook group, the support on here has been amazing. Right? It's been incredible. And you guys have been on this journey together because you're all like-minded, right? You've all got the same goal. And having that community can really, really spur you on. And whether you find yourself in my community moving forward or a different community, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you're surrounding yourself with the right type of people who are going to build you up, who are going to spur you on, who are going to pick you up when you need that, but who are going to celebrate you when you deserve that. And whether that community is inside My Happy Mind for Families or somewhere else, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you find it and that you do the work and that you take consistent action. I cannot stress that part enough. Why is it so important? Well, let's go back to that thoughts, feelings, behavior model and think about that in the context of the journey that you guys now have ahead of you. I have given you the clarity on the what, right? You now have the blueprint of where you need to focus to build your child's resilience and happiness, to build your own self-esteem and happiness too. So if your thoughts are filled with the science and the strategies and you're taking consistent action and you've got this great community, your thoughts are going to be positive, right? You're going to feel G'd up. You're going to feel, this is amazing. I can't wait for the next bit of learning that I'm going to get. I can't wait to share my success with that person who's going to celebrate me. Then you're going to feel energized, you're going to feel positive, and then you're going to do the work, you're going to take action. But if you don't have that success formula in place, if you don't have the science at your fingertips, if you don't have that sense of community, and if you don't have the ability to take consistent action on your own, your thoughts are going to be, this is hard, I feel lonely. You might get overwhelmed again, and you're going to feel stressed, fed up, stuck. And then guess what? You won't take the action. So again, whether this is with me or with someone else, please, please, please make sure you have the right support around you. So let's just take a breath. Let's just take a pause. Can you guys see how those five key areas and that success formula are your ticket to the future? Can you see how with those things in place, this whole journey gets to be easy? This whole journey gets to be fun. And this whole journey gets to be real for you. Can you see that? Now you have that blueprint in your hands. Can you see just how powerful it is? Let me know in the chat. I loved that Karen's been using the thoughts, feelings, behaviours model on your son. That's amazing. Amazing. Makes total sense. Thank you, Ruth. Yes, Sue, give it a go. Give this stuff a go. You know, that's what so much of this about is starting to play with some of this, right? Starting to understand it and play with it and, you know, have the successes, have the knockbacks, but learn from them and get back up. Okay. So we've been on this journey together to this point, and I hope you feel that I've given you lots to think about and that I've given you the clarity that you guys needed. But from here on in, it really is down to you. It's down to you whether you're going to stay where you are or take those steps forward. It's down to you whether you're going to hold on to those outdated beliefs around comparisonitis, listening to hearsay, thinking I can't, thinking they'll never change, or whether you're going to learn the science, learn the how of the science and adapt to new beliefs. And it's down to you whether you're going to keep thinking, what would it look like if it was different, and start making it different. I can't do that bit for you. So how is everyone feeling about the ladder now? Do you guys want to become happiness heroes? Can you see how this science, this consistent action, and that community piece can really, really be a game changer for you? Do you want to move up the ladder? Are you ready to move up the ladder? I think I know the answer to that, but let me know in the chat. And for those of you who have enjoyed this experience and are still watching me now or watching me on the replay now, I think we both know it's because you're here for a reason. You're ready to make that change. The fact that you have stepped out of your comfort zone already to attend these sessions, the fact that you've shared so vulnerably in the group and on the chat in these lives shows me that you're ready to shed the old and to embrace the new. With no more guesswork, no more worrying, no more overwhelm, no more days where you feel like you can't speak to anybody. Well, in just a few short days, I will be opening the doors to the My Happy Mind for Families program once more. This is my signature program in which I hold your hand and take you through all of those areas we've spoken about so that you not only know the what of the science, but you understand the how. And if you're ready to go on that journey and you want to do so with some support and you want to continue our journey, then I would love for you guys to join us inside My Happy Mind for Families. We're going to be opening the doors in a few days. And if you want to hear about that, you want to be the first to hear about that, and you want to get some special bonuses if you decide to join, then you need to get yourselves on the VIP waitlist for that program. There should be a button somewhere around the screen appearing now. If you click that button, and give us your email address and your name. We will make sure that we email you in just a few days when we open the doors to that program. Now you'll notice, you can see on my screen what the form looks like. We're asking you for your name, for your email, and for your mobile number. You don't have to give us your mobile number. That's just if you'd like to be notified by text when we open enrolments. Now, just a note on that, that the team have asked me to make sure I don't forget to say, if you're in the US, you don't need to give us any country codes. You can just put your US phone number in there. If you're in the UK, you have to type in +44 and then 07, whatever your mobile number is. If you're in Australia, then you need to do the same thing with +61 and then your number. And if you're anywhere else in the world outside of the US, you will need to give us your country code. Otherwise, our system doesn't recognize the number. But you don't have to give us your number. You can just give us your email. And then you'll be the first to hear when we open up the program for enrolments, and there will be some special bonuses for those of you that are on that list as well. So click that button and get yourselves on the list. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go to some questions and reflections, give you guys a chance to ask questions about what I've shared tonight, and share any reflections that you might have on those five key areas that we have shared. So I'm going to go over to the questions. So Marie, I've just seen your message. If you're in the UK, it's just +44 that you need to put in and then your mobile number. Okay, so if you guys have questions, you can type them in the Q&A box, but I would just remind you to vote somebody else's question up if it's a similar question. Because that makes it easier for me to navigate the questions. So somebody's asking about my book, My Happy Mind, which I can't reach because it's behind my computer. The book is not a replacement for My Happy Mind for Families, no. It's more similar to the work we've done this time round in this experience. The My Happy Mind for Families course, I'm not going to spend loads of time talking about that tonight because I don't want this to be a sales pitch. If you guys are interested in that, get on that VIP list and you'll find out about it. Tonight's about answering questions on the training. I've really, really tried to create this container, right? This safe container over this last week to give you guys, whether you decide to continue on the journey with me or with someone else, to give you guys the support you need to make that decision. So what I don't want to do now is start telling you all about the program. That will come. I promise you, you'll get all the details if you're on that list. What I want to do now is make sure that I answer the questions about the specific training. So I will skip over stuff if it's to do with the families program, but I promise you the doors are opening really soon and then you'll find out everything else. But in terms of your question about the book, it's not a replacement for the program. So hopefully that answers that question. Oh, Mandy, that's a lovely thing to say. Loved the sessions. Your voice is very soothing and has an instant calming effect on me. Thank you. That's really kind. So with regards to relationships, my kids have a good relationship with me, but not with my husband. Sorry, it just jumped then. How do I teach them what a good relationship looks like when they're getting one type of parenting from me and something entirely opposite from my husband? Well, this is a great question. And this is something that actually we tackle a lot inside our families program, because lots of our members, when they join, are in this exact same place. And they say to me, Laura, I get it. And I want to do all of this work and I'm starting to implement it and it's working and I'm teaching it to my kids and they get it and they love the characters and they love the stories and they love everything that you do in the program. But my husband's just not there yet. And the truth is, one of the things we do inside the program is help you to navigate that, because that can be really, really tricky. It can be tricky on lots of levels. It can be tricky for you, can be stressful for you as a parent, because you're thinking, I know that the reason I've got this good relationship is because I'm doing the things that create good relationships and you're not. And it can be tricky for your kids because they're getting this very different experience. One of the things that is really, really important to try and do is to come up with some common ground rules with your partner around how you interact with the kids, around what works, what doesn't. And that's one of the things we coach you through inside the program. But in terms of just some general advice for now, what I would really encourage you to do is to have a really, really honest conversation with your husband about exactly what's playing out and your perspective on that. And then what you can start to do, and this is one of the things I'd often recommend to people that I'm coaching in the program, is you can start to just pick some quite small things that you're going to be consistent on. And over time that can grow. But yeah, that's a very common dynamic that needs to be worked through, frankly, because consistency is really important. I can see how to celebrate my son's character in so many ways, but he's incredibly shy, which is something that I want to support him with. Do we celebrate all the positive characteristics and hope that this helps to reduce his shyness? It's a big part of his nature. Yeah, and this is, it's hard for me to go into specific examples without more context. This is the kind of thing we do on coaching calls inside the Families Programme. But what I would say is 100% self-esteem will be built massively through celebrating character. One of the things that lots of our members come to me and say is they're just really shy. How do I build their confidence? And what I would like to offer you as a question for you to reflect on is him being shy a problem? And if so, why? Some kids are just shy. Some adults are just shy. Doesn't need to be a problem. So I'll leave you with that. But we'll also say that yes, you will build self-esteem with character praise, but that's very different to somebody being shy. You can have people who are shy who have high self-esteem. The two aren't mutually exclusive. Okay, how do I encourage my daughter to try new experiences and challenges? Oh, this is a goodie. This is a goodie. And again, you know, the root of children not wanting to do that is low self-esteem in general. The root of children not wanting to put themselves out there, to take those risks, to maybe fail, right, is that they have an association with that that is negative. They have an association which is, if I try that and it doesn't work out, that means X. So a lot of what we would be doing on that is working on her thoughts, really helping her to build that self-esteem up and build that self-confidence up. So you can start to see how all of these strategies and tools play together in lots of different situations. But yeah, that's a manifestation of lower self-esteem and of an association with failure. Do you do a program for secondary schools? How do we get you into our schools? I can see Natalie's already answered that, which is great. Yeah, so Natalie is our head of new relationships. So she looks after all of our customers to be, if you like, schools to be, and she can tell you all about how best to do that. Predominantly, we work in primary schools and nurseries, but we do also have a year seven, which is first year of secondary school. For those of you who aren't in the UK system or in the English system, I should say, we have a course for that first year of secondary school as well. My son's nursery are using your programme. They mentioned that as parents, we have access to some online content. Apart from this, could you give us more info on that? Yes. So for those of you who are parents at a My Happy Mind school or nursery, you can access an app which has some top level information about what we do. You've probably learned much of that on this three part series, as you'll discover in the apps. That isn't the Families program, that's something different. So if you've been through this experience, there's probably not masses on the app that you don't already know. But there are some exercises and games and things that you might find fun. The best way to access that is to ask your nursery for the information. They have got all of that. And if they're struggling to find it, they know where to go in terms of getting help. So hopefully that answers your question. Okay, how are we doing? Yes, we're in lots of schools in Northern Ireland, actually. How are we doing? Who's on the list? That's what I want to know. How many of you guys have put yourself on that? On that VIP list, let me know in the chat if you're on the list. And then I'll just scan through and see if there's any other questions that have come through. Sue says, our eldest daughter is hugely introverted. Oh, hang on. That's just jumped. Ah, where's it gone? Here we go. It jumps around for me. So our eldest daughter is hugely introverted and she sees this as a weakness. I've tried to explain to her that it's just a personality type, but because I'm more extroverted, I think that she thinks that I think it's a weakness. How do I help her realize she's perfect just the way she is? Oh my goodness. We could spend hours talking about this, and this is exactly the kind of coaching that we do inside the program with individual families. So I can't get into that now with you, because I would need to ask you a load of questions and we'd need to kind of spar a bit to get to the bottom of it. But yeah, self-esteem is going to be a big part of what you do there. Yeah, hopefully that's okay. Somebody's asking about replays. So just on that, guys, for those of you who haven't seen all the sessions or are watching this on the replay, this whole experience that I've created for you guys, which has obviously been totally free, has been very intentionally designed to be a safe container, right? To be a safe space for you all to interact with me over this period of a week or so. And that's very intentional because I 100% respect your privacy. I 100% respect your perspectives, and I 100% respect the fact that you guys have been so vulnerable. And so the training will only be available until Sunday night, and at that point we will be closing the Facebook group, I'm afraid, and we'll be taking these replays down. And there's a very good reason for that, and the reason is that I and my team, once we close the doors to the training on Sunday, we'll be turning all of our focus to our families members, to those people that join us inside the program. I cannot sustain the Facebook group and give you guys the support that I would want to give you. When you're asking questions, when you're sharing your aha moments, you'll notice that every single comment gets responded to by me or my team. That's because we care about you. We can't keep that up when we have, frankly, paying customers who we're going to lean into and support after that time. So you will have until Sunday at 9 p.m. to watch the replays and to catch up. But after that time, they will come down. I'm not a fan of just having things out there for people to comment on and share. Also, all of our replays have all of your comments on. I don't think it's responsible for me to just leave those out there when people might comment on them. And we just have to be very careful with people's information and respecting people's vulnerabilities that they've shared. So Sunday at 9 p.m. is when you've got until, which is ages still, so you've got loads of time. You can obviously watch the replays on video. You can also catch them on my podcast, which is called My Happy Mind Conversations, if you just want to listen to the audio. And you can also have the audio too, which is available on this page that you're on now if you're watching us on Crowdcast. So loads of ways for you to catch up, but they will be coming down on Sunday at 9 p.m. So hopefully that makes sense. Okay, I'm going to have a quick look through and see if there's any more questions. Kat says, podcast, love your voice. Somebody's saying about the top. Oh, character strengths. Okay, so the first step with character is understanding what your character strengths are and what your kids' character strengths are. And we have a whole process of how we do that inside the Families Program. So once you've got that piece done, then it moves to praising those character strengths in the moment and doing that in a very informal way. Again, hard for me to get too much into that without knowing what the strengths are of your children. If you decide not to join the waiting list and not learn about the program, then I would just really encourage you to observe your children and see what you notice about their character strengths, and then praise those things that you spot. So that's where I would focus. That's where I would focus there. Sue says, I love a podcast, just subscribed. Yes. Amazing. Okay, guys, I am going to start to wrap things up. I think I've answered most of the questions. We are here for you between now and Sunday night. If you're on that wait list, keep checking your email. There's some really exciting stuff coming in the next few days for you guys if you're on that list that you will hear about. Don't forget to enter the giveaway. You've got to be in it to win it. We're closing that at the same time that we're closing the Facebook group and taking the replays down. So make sure you get your aha moments in, make sure you share them, and we will be announcing the prizes inside our Facebook group on the Monday. Actually, we'll be closing the Facebook group. Sorry, I should have said on the Monday. after we do the Facebook Live. So make sure that you guys enter the giveaway to be in with a chance of winning one of those amazing prizes. Between now and then, me and my team will be with you in the Facebook group to answer any other questions that might come up. So keep them coming. But thank you so much for being with me on this journey. I really hope it's given you the clarity and the inspiration.